Shabbat Shalom, and hopefully you've had a good week. Brethren, it's good to be back. We were gone a couple of weeks, so it's nice to see you all again. Brethren, one of the hardest things to overcome is being fearful, isn't it? We all experience fear, more or less, once in a while at least. Because after all, bad things do happen, don't they? Trials and tribulations affect us all. We've experienced it this week in our own lives. We came home on Sunday evening after being gone for 10 days and found out that our house was burglarized and a lot of things were taken. Now, those things can be replaced. Yesterday morning at 7 o'clock, we were just getting up. We received a phone call that my best friend in Knoxville died, just totally unexpectedly. Yes, brethren, bad things do happen. And that's why sometimes we are fearful, aren't we? Because we're not protected always from bad things to happen. So how are we dealing with that? How can we still live a life without fear, even though we know trials and tribulations and bad things do happen? So today I would like to talk about two kinds of fear. First, I want to give a few biblical examples of fearful and not so fearful people and some negative effects of being fearful. As I said, bad things do happen. The question is, how much do we fear them? Now again, there's two kinds of fear, the fear of God and the fear of man and everything else. The fear of God is something we're supposed to have. We're supposed to learn about it. Even during the Feast of Tabernacles, when we're supposed to have a very joyful time, and when we rejoice, we are told in Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 23, if you can jot that down, Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 23, when it tells us we're supposed to celebrate and rejoice, but also we do it in order to learn to fear God. That's really the main purpose, even of a joyous occasion like the feast. But then we have to realize the fear of God is a good fear. It's not being afraid of something. It's just being very respectful and honorable towards God. When we learn the fear of God, it gives us confidence. We're told in Hebrews 4, 6, 15 through 16, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The boldness in the fear of God comes from the knowledge that God has accepted our repentance and that God will never leave us nor forsake us, provided, of course, that we remain faithful to him, that we maintain our fear of him. And this knowledge emboldens us to step out in faith. It gives us clear focus. It gives us a clear thinking. Now, on the other hand, when we have other fears, not the fear of God, we lose focus. We feel insecure. We bite our fingernails, expecting or anticipating the worst. It's the opposite, total opposite of the fear of God. It is inspired by Satan, the devil. He wants us to fear. He wants us to be afraid. But we are supposed to overcome fear. That's our goal. We are called to overcome. Revelation 21, verse 7, we're told, he who overcomes shall inherit all things and will be his God, and he shall be my son. In verse 8, it says, but the cowardly or fearful in the King James Version, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's a very serious thing to be fearful. Again, it comes from Satan. It's not from God. And the fearful here, the Greek adjective used here is delos. And this is not the normal Greek word for fear, which is phobos. You know the word phobia. Rather, the Greek adjective delos means cowardly, timid, having no courage, afraid to make independent decisions, afraid to take independent actions, a total absence of confidence. There's a couple of other places in the New Testament. Matthew 8, verse 26, it says, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?'" You know, that's when they were in the boat with him, and then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. In Mark 4, verse 40, he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So our fear of other things, of other people, is often connected to a lack of fear of God and a lack of faith. You all remember the story of the guy with the talent that hid his talent. Why? Because he had a wrong kind of fear. This servant, he said, "Well, I was terrified, I was scared." And he actually used the Greek word phobia. He used that word because, of course, he wouldn't admit that he was a coward, right? Have you ever seen anybody walk up to him, "I'm sorry, I'm such a coward, that's why I did it"? No, I mean, it's much more acceptable to say, "I'm sorry, I was afraid." And, of course, good people get afraid, right? It's an acceptable thing in society. Nobody will scold you. Nobody will think of you that you're not a good person if you're fearful. Well, again, according to the world standards, we can be good people and still be fearful. But that's because the whole world is permeated by a spirit of fear, isn't it? But God has higher standards for us. Now, the problem with this guy that was fearful and hid his talent was the fact that he violated the spirit of the second commandment. He had the false image of God in his mind, a God that is harsh, unfair, and so on. And we must not harbor any wrong thoughts about God. Actually, if we do, we don't have the proper fear of him, and we have the fear that comes from Satan. You know, the wicked servant thought, "No matter what I do, it will do no good." Does that remind you of a verse in Ecclesiastes where it says, "Vanity of vanities, whatever I do, it won't do no good"? Well, that's a word from a very bitter man, from Solomon, when he turned very bitter, when he no longer had the Spirit of God. But in 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1 and 7, we are clearly told, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So a spirit of fear clearly is not from God. You know, the Greek noun deilia comes from the adjective delos, as I mentioned what that means, cowardice-ness and timidity. There is indeed a spirit of cowardice in this world, isn't there? And that spirit comes, again, directly from Satan. Satan inspires people a fear of the unknown. Now, why should we fear the unknown? Well, Solomon also, when he became bitter, he said, "Time and chance happen to them all." It's like, well, God's not really in control. Whatever happens, everything's a coincidence. But notice what his father David, a man after God's own heart, was saying in this regard. He said in Psalm 56, verse 4, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me." And in Psalm 118, verse 6, he says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do unto me." And remember his encounter with Goliath. David made some mistakes in his life, even as we do. But that did not stop David from being bold and confident that God was on his side. We must have that same confidence in God. We need to distance ourselves from the world's culture that instills fear. You know, scary movies instill a fear that is from Satan. I make a bold statement here, and maybe hopefully nobody will get offended. As far as I'm concerned, Harry Potter is never ever to be watched by true believers. It's inspired by Satan, the devil, a kind of fear, you know, that is from him. In Romans 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, a trust in God that he'll take care of us. You know, criminals, the mafia, terrorists, all use fear to control and manipulate people, don't they? They are Satan's most obvious instruments. Dictatorships base their entire existence on fear and intimidation. Politicians often get your vote by instilling fear and not thinking rationally. But in 1 Peter 3, verse 14, we're told, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, and again, we do suffer, we go through trials and tribulations, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. So we must not be afraid of people's threats. It comes from fear of people. I realize, brethren, this is a very, very tall order, to not fear when we are faced with threats and with suffering. But that's what we've been called to do. Do not be afraid of people and their actions, because fear is a terrible slave master. There are some biblical examples, and I don't have a lot of time to go through them, but you remember Elijah, and his example was mentioned on the last holy day when John gave a sermon in 1 Kings. We read about it where, you know, Elijah called fire from heaven. But later, the same day, Jezebel, as Satan's instrument, threatened Elijah's life, and Elijah became fearful and fled for his life. So he was not always, you know, as bold as he should have been and have just the fear of God. He was also scared at times. But it always spells trouble when we are. At a later point, Elijah boldly faced groups of 50 soldiers who wanted to arrest him. And feel free to read 2 Kings chapter 1. If you have time, read 2 Kings chapter 1, the whole story. Now, twice Elijah called fire from heaven to destroy those who wanted to arrest him. It was because an angel told Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid of him, that Elijah didn't call fire from heaven a third time. In this episode, Elijah did not fear at any time in that whole chapter. But there were times again when he did. And even Abraham. Abraham asked his wife Sarah to present herself as his sister because Abraham feared for his life. And at other times, Abraham, you know, displayed great bravery and boldness. And we read about him in Hebrews chapter 11 among those who have shown a lot of faith. So again, it isn't always easy not to be fearful in certain situations. But again, that's what we need to strive for nonetheless, to not fear any other human beings. We must always keep in mind that to the degree we still have any fears at all, to the same degree, we are still in slavery to Satan. What's the big deal? What is such a big deal with fear now, Reinhard? What are you talking about? Why is it such a big problem? Well, fears, and I have a few points here, fears show how receptive we are to Satan's way of thinking. Fear of death is slavery. And death, even death, should not be feared. When you think about it, what comes right after death? Now, we're all sad and sorry that we have lost a good friend. But, you know, for him, all the struggles are over. For him awaits a crown. Satan's thinking is exposed when we fear. In Job 2, verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yeah, all that a man has will he give for his life. And the whole world has accepted that premise. Watch just any movie involving criminals and terrorists. You know, they say, okay, just, you know, do whatever we tell you, otherwise we'll take your life. Very different from what Patrick Henry said one time when he said, give me liberty or give me death. Very different approach. I remember in Germany in the 70s, they would say, during the Cold War, they would say, rather red than dead. Very, very different thinking. It's a fear of death that people have. It's Satan's way of thinking. When we fear death, we become Satan's slaves. Now, I'm not saying don't be careful. We do buckle up when we get in the car, not just because it's the law, but because it's the wise thing to do, right? So don't get me wrong along those lines. But when we fear death again, we become Satan's slaves or the slaves of his cronies, dictators or their appointees. Satan rules by fear only those who allow his spirit of fear to control them. You know, the Apostle Paul said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy, but again, not an enemy to be feared. With God on our side, we're not supposed to fear any enemy, and that includes death. Here's an admonition Jesus Christ gave to the people in the Smyrna era of the church. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And notice God's testimony for those who will be in the first resurrection. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Those who will be in the first resurrection did not make their decision based on being fearful for their lives. They have overcome Satan's fear-imposed slavery. That is what the martyr Stephen was like. In Acts 7, verse 59 through 60, he said, And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Again in John, 1 John, verse 14, we're told, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. As long as we have fears, brethren, we cannot really grow in our understanding of God's mind and God's way of thinking. Fears shackle our minds to flawed ways of thinking and reasoning. Fears are clear evidence that we still think like Satan thinks. Another point about fear. Fears are the greatest evidence of a lack of faith. Paul explained that without faith it is impossible to please God. Recall the example of Peter walking on water, and he said, come, and when Peter was down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? It is faith in God only that will help us to overcome fear. Another point is fears are the evidence that we really don't fully trust that God will help us. Paul says, though, to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verse 5 and following, he said, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we don't need to be afraid that God will not provide us with everything we need. And David also, again in Psalm 23, verse 4, we all know that very well, Psalm 23. In verse 4, he says, "Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Another problem is with fear, and that's a big one. Fearful people cannot be trusted. That may surprise you. Why do I say this? Well, because they will make decisions based on fear. Principles are ignored. They give in to peer pressure. Fears dominate and take priority. They, in effect, make the decisions that Satan is pressuring them to make. And that is one major reason why God cannot work with fearful people. They are unreliable when they don't fear him, but other things or other people. Many wrong decisions made are made based on fear. Financial decisions, job decisions, marriage decisions. People marry the wrong person because they think they're running out of time. The biological clock is ticking. Seen it many times. So out of fear, we often make the wrong decisions, and our judgment cannot be trusted. People make wrong child-rearing decisions. They think if they're strict with their children, for example, they'll lose the love of their child. People make wrong healthcare decisions. They think if they don't do the full-fledged hammer of surgery, chemo, and all that kind of stuff, they'll die of cancer. Fearfulness leads people to make bad choices, brethren. That's how Satan rules the world. That's how he causes people to mess up and to live destructive lives. Fear and worry are very strong emotions that make it almost impossible to think clearly, to think rationally, to think logically, and to think in a principled way. Now, I'm not saying we need to be cold-hearted. Don't get it confused. Lack of fear with cold-heartedness. That doesn't mean we don't have emotions. No, not at all. But we fear God and rejoice in him. Another point, fearful people inevitably make wrong decisions. That's sort of related. And I can skip to the next one. Point is preaching that is aimed at making people fearful. You have seen it a lot in the churches of this world. But remember, you know, say God inspires by opportunity. That's the way I see it. God motivates by opportunity, the opportunity to be part of his family. Isn't that the greatest opportunity? Satan is the one who motivates by fear. That's the big difference. Worldly churches tell you, you can't dance, you can't drink. They create their own Talmud and to create fear in people if they don't follow them, and they, in a way, enslave people. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Christ warned us to be aware of false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The most obvious effect wolves have on sheep is that they instill fear in the sheep. And people who do that, they are not true shepherds. You know, sheep should not be afraid of their shepherd, should they? People kept the commandments out of spirit of fear often in the past. People that we have known very well, and they didn't keep the commandments in a spirit of love. Because they just kept it in a spirit of fear, not in a fear of love, they're gone. They're no longer with us. And the last point why fears are a big problem is fears are the major reason for most lies. When we are tempted to lie, usually because we are afraid of people knowing the truth about us and what we have done or neglected to do and what we think. It is fear which pressures us to make the wrong decisions. Notice something that Jesus Christ said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In what way does the truth make us free? The truth sets us free from fears. People who have fears any fears are not really free, are they? It is only when we have no fears that we are truly free. It is only when we have no fears about the truth being known, the truth about us and what we have done and what we may think and believe, that then we can truly be free. God knows it all anyway, doesn't he? True freedom is only possible in the total absence of all the wrong fears. Lies enslave us because lies result in fear of the truth becoming known. Without a fear of the truth becoming known, we would be tempted far less to lie, wouldn't we? Without a fear of the truth becoming known, people could never be blackmailed, and people could not be pressured to do things they really don't want to do. Yes, again, fear is a terrible slave master. And then there's the fear that we won't make it into the kingdom. And people think it is, and let's realize, it is not our own good deeds that get us into the kingdom. However, we have been called to a special relationship. God has called us in his mercy, and we are just as frail and weak as other people, and we know that. But we must live our lives in integrity before God, in spite of falling short at various times. And that integrity gives us then the confidence that God will resurrect us if we do die before the Christ's second coming, to immortal life in his eternal family. And with Paul, we are to have the confidence that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It is Satan who wants God's people to feel, give up. What's the use? You'll never make it. Just look at you. You always fall short. So go ahead and bury that one talent. At least then you won't lose it. That's Satan's inspiration. That kind of fear. But faced with such negative thoughts, we need to say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. In conclusion, brethren, I think we can see that being fearful and having the fear of God are totally opposite from each other. Satan broadcasts a spirit of fearfulness to this world with the goal of enslaving all human beings. We need to recognize that such a spirit of fearfulness will mess up people's minds, to the point where people will make decisions that are totally wrong before God. Now, of course, all of us, including me, at times still have some fears. None of us are immune, and we can think of men like Abraham and Elijah in certain difficult situations. But all of us need to get a grip on our fears. And when we can recognize that we are being pressured to fear someone or something, then we need to look to God in faith. A spirit of fear is not from God. It is from Satan. And God has rejected Satan, including his spirit of fear. And we should recognize that our lives are always in God's hands, whether we trust God or not. And we are far better off when we resist the pressure to make a foolish decision because of fears. When we resist Satan and the fears that he tries to enslave us with, brethren, then he will also flee from us. Let us be free from the bondage of fear, free from the spirit of Satan. Let us yield to God's spirit. Again, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.